don't know what else to do on cold days but to gather together, huddle in, and feel the warmth, and warm each other up. May it be so, may it indeed be so today, that you are warmed from the inside out as we gather to worship today. May you encourage one another, and may you feel encouraged. May this moment, this time of worship, fill you with power and with grace. I invite you then to call one another to worship. There are words printed in our bulletin, and you can share them together now. We will share them together responsibly. I'm the not old, and you are the bold. Your door is always open, God. You stand at your door and welcome all to come in. Entry to your home is not limited to only your friends and associates. From the prairie dogs in the fields to the eagle soaring, you welcome everyone. So I invite you to draw your attention in draw your attention to the presence of God, who is within you and all around you. Recognizing the presence of God within you quiets us, quiets our hearts, our minds, that sometimes can be very frenetic. And it is good to enter into and draw awareness from and strength from the anchor, the center of our hearts, of our lives. But recognizing the presence of God in your life does not make you a navel gazer. Not that there's anything wrong with gazing at your navel. Go ahead, I think you could probably spend a very happy afternoon looking at your belly button. But the presence of God will always draw your attention from a place of power in you to recognize the presence of God around you, to find compassion for the people who are seated around you, the people whom you encounter every day. Recognizing the presence of God in you leads you to recognize the presence of God in others. And we then can live lives of compassion and peace from a strong foundation to a strong calling. I invite you then to come to recognize the presence of God in the people who are seated around you, that we might bear with one another joys and concerns, that we might listen with our hearts, not only our ears, to the stories and the burdens that other people carry, that we might have an open heart and come to celebrate the joys that other people are experiencing, even in the midst of our own worry and trouble. I invite you then to draw your attention to the people who are seated around you. I invite you to share your joys and your concerns so that we might be attuned to the presence of God, who is alive and with us now. Are there joys or concerns that you would share at this time?
A joy that Barb Burton is back in church with us today, and a concern that this government shutdown can come to an end pretty soon, and the people who are not receiving paychecks are somehow going to survive all this.
Thank you.
I'm going to talk about coffee time. We are missing people to help serve coffee. And I physically cannot do 3 weeks in a row, and that's what's happening now. I need 2 people to pick up one Sunday, and I need 1 person to pick up another Sunday with a person who is already there. So if you think that you can come, and all you have to do is make coffee and put it out there, we have lots of food in the freezer or refrigerator. I just really need help. I physically cannot do 3 weeks, 3 Sundays with my back the way it is. So if you can, come and see me so we can get it settled.
I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words that are printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together as you feel comfortable, as you feel guided by the spirits. We can pray together, saying, O God, help us to remember Jesus as we pray. He who always spent his time with the weak and the oppressed. Beloved, you are a beloved child of God. God knows you. God knows you from the inside out. God knows what you've done, where you've been, and what you haven't done. God knows you and loves you. God's steadfast love endures forever. And there is nothing you can do, nowhere you can go, neither height nor depth nor any power in this world that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You are a beloved child of God. You are enough. And we are all children of God. We are a family. And in this power, we pray. We pray as Jesus taught us. We pray to our common parent, saying, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
All right. So here is, this is, what is this?
Water.
this?
Pitcher.
A pitcher. I'm going to turn this water into wine. Ready? Are you ready?
Thank you. scripture reading is from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The wedding at Cana. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, and he did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first sign of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Maybe you don't know, but you will, if you get to know if I'm here longer. I'll tell you now, so you're not totally surprised, but I'm a huge hip-hop fan. Rap, hip-hop. Beware. I have in my car, straight out of Compton, Eminem. I love Eminem. I love to listen to Lil Fuji's hard hip-hop. And you just sometimes you need to listen to a little bit of Eminem. Huge fan. And there seems to be a little bit of a mystique or a myth that's a recurring theme in some bolder hip-hop songs. The song Lose Yourself, Eminem's like, got one chance to make, one break. You familiar with that? You get this idea that you get one chance, one shot. I got Hamilton for Christmas this year. There's another song in the soundtrack of Hamilton. Do you want me to rap it? I'm not gonna lose my shot, gonna take my shot. Got one shot. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. I'm not gonna lose my shot. You know, you love it just as much as I do, I can tell. I'm a fan of hip-hop and rap. And there's that idea, this misidea, I would say, that you've got one opportunity, you've got one shot, you gotta take it, you don't take it, you're a loser. That's why I'm a fan of hip-hop, because sometimes I need that little energy, need that inspiration. But I love Jesus. I love Jesus, and I could probably have a preaching sermon series about all the reasons why I love Jesus. I love Jesus because of the scripture passage that Deb read for you today. Jesus is starting out in his ministry, and an opportunity presents itself for Jesus to shine, to perform a miracle. You got one shot. You got to take it. And Jesus is like, can't do it. And Jesus' mom is like, "Son, this is happening. You are doing this. Make the water into wine." This is why I love Jesus, because Jesus is a model for me and how I actually live my life. I have been the beneficiary of many people in my life who have seen me pass up the opportunity, seen me cowering in the corner, seen me lying in the fetal position in my office and been like, Sarah, get up. Get up, you're doing this. This is happening. You gotta go out there and preach. It's Sunday, it's like 10 o'clock. You have to do this. If this could be you some Sunday, maybe I will need some encouragement. A little motherly encouragement. I love Jesus because he models for us the life of calling. We are all of us called. I believe this. Every one of us, you all, are called by God. In a variety, in amazing diversity of ways. You are all called in a specific way. Not a one of us has the same calling from God. And God calls us again and again and again. And sometimes we say, nah, I can't do it. And sometimes we say, nah, I can't do it for years. And God is persistent and consistent in calling us to do good work in this world so that we might not grow weary of doing good in this world. I invite you to remember your calling, to think to the ways that you have been called by God. Who are the people in your life who have stood beside you and encouraged you? Sarah, get up that ladder. Sarah, get into that sanctuary. You've got to preach. And what have you been able to participate in? What experiences have you had because of the amazing call that God has offered in your life? Sometimes God calls me through scripture. I can remember the first time that I read the scripture passage, Isaiah chapter 42. I read it in seminary. I was a 24-year-old before I heard this scripture passage. Isaiah 42. Here's my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, he will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. The coastlands wait for his teaching. I read this scripture passage and it worked on me for so long. And because of this scripture passage, I decided to join the Peace Corps. And because of this scripture passage, I know that even though I feel like a very dimly burning wick sometimes, I know that I have work to do. See, I think I need to be called, and I need to be called again and again and again, because if I were not called by God, I could not do this work. Sometimes it is too hard. And sometimes people are just too annoying. And sometimes the evil feels so intractable and insidious that even though I can see it, I cannot rip it out by the roots. It just seems to grow again in its season. And sometimes feels like I would just rather stay home. And that God keeps calling me, and I would really rather that God would stop it for a little while. I maybe have 3 days of living in the agony and anguish. And then God keeps resurrecting me. I need the calling of God in my life. I need the calling of God in so many ways because I miss it. I can ignore it, and I would rather not do it. But for God's insistent, persistent presence in my life. Take a few moments. There are questions coming up on the screen. Take some moments to reflect in your own heart. Or if you're sitting with somebody whom you trust, or if you just would rather speak in anonymous terms, if you just want to get it out, take a few moments and ponder these questions. Remember your calling, and think of the ways that God has called you. Or say, how is God calling me? Who is God calling me to be? What is God calling me to do? Take a few minutes and think about it. Would any of you like to share how God is calling you today? Would any of you like to share your work? Your calling, your vocation in this world?
Not too many family members are here because every time I get the microphone, they get a little nervous. And growing up, my dad always hoped that one of his 5 children would become a minister. And unfortunately, none of us did. But I became a child protection social worker with the county for 33 years. And I feel that I serve God in a different way than what a minister would serve, and I enjoy selling things. And I think part of selling things includes selling an attitude towards somebody else whose attitude may not be the greatest. And as I grow older, I see more and more ways that we can touch other people's lives. And one of the ways I enjoy writing letters to people and letting them know how much I care about them and how important they are to others. So there's a lot that we can do, not only with a big flair, but just kind of average things that make a difference. I mean, how many people get mail nowadays that's personal? hardly any, you know. So anyway, I better stop because I could go on too long.
I would stop you. I will also say that I've been the beneficiary of your letters. And through that, I can honestly say that it's helped me stand up on hard days. Oh, sorry, Sally. I was looking at Jim.
Let's redirect you.
I got it eventually.
I think that God is calling me to do music at Afton Row. I get to go over and do music on Wednesday mornings for the people to sing, and then when they have some of their worship services, I get to go over and do that too. And there's some very special relationships out of that. It's a neat thing. Thanks.
I feel that I was put on this earth to help other people. I love volunteering. I do it in many different places, and the people that I serve, I feel it's kind of selfish because they make me feel better, and I feel good about what I'm doing. We started doing Meals on Wheels about a year and a half ago, and that has changed my life. I don't know about art, but it has changed my life, and I've become attached and very fond of the people that we deliver meals to, and I feel good because I know some days I'm the only other human they have contact with, and I'm a talker, so that kind of helps too, but I feel like I'm here to help other people and maybe brighten their day or ease their concerns.
I spent 38 years as a research analytical organic chemist for the US EPA, trying to protect God's green blue earth. And I started with the agency, our rivers in the United States of America were catching on fire. By the time I retired, we had tremendous improvements in the quality of air and water. Now I'm retired, but I still do a lot of talking about it, writing letters to our politicians and other people, trying to get them to do the right thing for our children through our environment.
Wow, thank you. Thank you for sharing. And you don't need to share. Because I believe, I know, that you are all being called by God. And that mysterious calling is individual and diverse and wide and consistent. We remember, we celebrate our baptisms. I think maybe all of you have been baptized. Our baptism is the place where our calling begins. We are called, we are given our names, we are imbued and with the power and the love of God all over our body. And we begin the journey of the calling of our vocation. We remember our baptisms again and again and again. This blessing and this burden of call. In a few minutes, you're going to come forward as, if you want to, as you're able, to place your offering for today in the offering plates up front here in the middle aisle, if it's a little too much to walk forward. Or you can also place your pledge. Some of us, maybe hopefully all of us in our community, have received the packet about our stewardship campaign and offering and materials about stewardship and how we can begin to pledge this year. If you don't have this today and you want to offer, give to write your pledge and place it in the offering plate, like I'm doing right now, We have packets in the back, conveniently enough. Very nicely have some offering packets available. And you can come forward and place your offering and also spend some time at the rail. And if you want to, I have some oil, and I would love to pray with you and anoint you with oil and bless you and talk about and bless you in your calling today. Because this is, you're placing not just your money and your paper in the offering plate, but you are offering again yourself to the will and the way of God. That's what we're doing here. So I ask you, I invite you to remember your baptism and be thankful. And I ask you to, and I'll share for you the questions that were asked on your behalf at your baptism. And I ask them, and you can respond as you feel called by saying, "I do." You can respond or not. And so on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? So respond by saying, "I do." Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, respond by saying, "Do it." Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the Church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? So respond by saying, "I do." I invite you then to come forward, to place your offering in the plates, to come and pray, and receive a blessing if you would like it. And we'll join to sing number 340 in our cover books. We'll sing this as we are coming forward. You can do this.
Thank you.
bless our giving today, our pledges. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together. I invite you to open your heart, your hands, your mind, the walls of this space, and invite the blessing of Christ on our giving today. We can share together, saying, "Weave us, O Christ, with your love into your body. Make us your church. Hold us together."
Good morning. It's past a time again, and we have like 4 weeks now until the past debate. So we have order forms that you can take and get some orders, and their order forms are going to be in the back table here by the offering envelopes. So they're $5, and like I say, this we're doing a little early this year. And so we're a little short of time. So 4 weeks. And put on your calendar February 20th, a Wednesday, through Saturday the 23rd, which will be the pasty bake. And we'll have sign-up sheets next week. Thanks. Yes, sign-up sheets for workers. Thanks.
I know it's cold outside, and sometimes the weather is chancy in northern Minnesota, and we can't change the weather, although sometimes I think I just bring cold weather wherever I go. But you can make good decisions for yourself all of your life. And you are, this church is always open. We are welcome and inviting, and I want everybody to come to worship on Sunday morning. And also I want you to feel safe and feel comfortable. So always, you know that you can make good decisions about whether or not to come to worship on Sunday morning or whether or not to stay home and bask in the presence of God in your home. If you feel safer at home because of the weather, please just know that you have my blessing, and I encourage you to make good decisions for yourself. And don't worry about whatever anybody says. All right, I invite you to rise as you are able, in body or in spirit. Enjoy the same New York.
Oh,